Be understood. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, and we'll read verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says by, but it's and our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. This is the final reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You'll notice verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This is the first time I've been in this auditorium, and I'm sure that if this room could tell some stories, it could have all kinds of tales to tell. There have likely been all kinds of assemblies here, concerts, all kinds of gathering together. But what we have read and what I'd like to just draw our attention to briefly this afternoon is the fact that when it comes to our gathering together, it's not just a matter of people gathering in a common room. But we find that in God's Word, in the two places that we have read it, it's really the only the two places that this word does appear, we find that it's the truth of our gathering together unto. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, so you can just relax today. But the word synagogue or sunagogue is really just a gathering together. And so we could call this room a synagogue. But when you put the little prefix before epi, it changes the focus. It somehow now focuses on the reason or on the person to which we are gathered. And so it's really the truth of our gathering together unto. Back in 1997, in the month of June, we made a trip to the little town of Buena Vista in Newfoundland. It's literally the end of the road. There's a very, very outstanding lighthouse there. Very historic, very scenic. If you go there, take your camera. But this particular day in the month of June was a very cold day. I can tell you that we didn't go there for the weather. It was cold enough to freeze you. And there were all kinds of displays there. People were selling mittens and toques and scarves. But there were 30,000 people plus that had driven down that small highway to that town called Buena Vista. And they were there for a purpose. Later on that day, there was a very small boat called the Matthew that suddenly came out of the fog and slipped into the harbor. It was a reenactment of the coming of John Cabot, or Giovanni Caboto, as his real name was, the discovery of Newfoundland in 1497. This was the 500th anniversary of that event. And alongside of that little boat, there was also another person there, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And I can tell you that I just didn't go for the boat. I went to see the Queen. We were gathered together unto her. Despite the weather, she braved the elements, and we saw the Queen, and we were part of that historical reenactment. It was quite a day, quite a thrilling day. You know, as I think of of our experience as Christians, all that we are involved with today is really a response to the grace of our God. We have responded because there was one who came from heaven and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He could say, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Wondrously, through sovereign grace, we were drawn, we were spoken to, we were invited, we came. With great delight, we are now linked with that lovely man. We now are able to take our place as we gather ourselves together, not just as a group of people here in Seattle, not even just as a group of Christians to sing and to speak together, but there's a far greater reality that links us today. We have responded to a man. We have responded to the Son of God. We are gathered together unto Him. Wonderfully, we can say, by way of response, we love Him. And I know we're not here to talk about our love for Him, because it's really not what it should be. But when the bottom line comes, we can say we do love Him. Ah, but there's a reason. Because He first loved us. Interesting that when this word is used, we have read the two times that the word is used in the New Testament. There's a very simple difference. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it involves an involuntary response. Hebrews chapter 10 is voluntary. We make choices. We have chosen to come to this conference. There has been a moment when we spoke to the brethren and we indicated we would like to be a part of the fellowship of this assembly. No one forces to come. It was voluntary. So both parameters are used with regard to this tremendous truth. Our gathering together unto. Interestingly, it was the Lord Jesus Himself who used it in verb form in Matthew chapter 23. That occasion has often been noted in the Gospel as He stood outside the city of Jerusalem and with tears on His cheeks. He could say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together unto myself, even as a hen gathereth her chickens unto herself, under her wings, but ye would not." The world still passes the Savior by. Christendom has no time for the lovely man of Calvary. But thank God the sovereign grace has touched our lives, has drawn us to Himself, and has linked us with that ultimate purpose of glory that we've been hearing of already today. I've been impressed, just reading your invitation, that the Bible readings are centered upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. And all the scriptures on the invitation dealt or certainly were focused on His coming. That's exactly what Paul centered on when he spoke to these Christians in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. When he said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him." We are linked with that prospect. We are linked with that reality. I trust today as the people of God that it's not just so much fact, some kind of an event down the road, but that this tremendous prospect and this living hope might captivate our souls, stir our spirits, and move our steps, and change our lives as we think of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the event. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "And our gathering together unto Him."
We are not just waiting for a point of time, are we? The rapture will take place like that. But it's the person that we're waiting for. And when I think of what that event will bring, and of all that it will usher into our experience for all eternity, I'm made aware that realistically it will be glory for Him, and it will be glory for us. I'm sure we don't know the half of the half. One man says we only touch the fringe of the fringe of what it's going to mean for us to step into His presence eternally. To see Him, to be captivated by Him, to serve Him for all eternity. What a prospect is ours. Our gathering together unto Him with Christ in the midst. Brother and sisters, will it not be glory for Him? When I think of that event and its mighty declaration, He's not ashamed to call us brethren, despite all of our flaws and failures and our warts and our problems. You don't have to go too far to see a lot of those. But He is not ashamed to call us brethren, friends. He could say, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That moment for Him will involve a mighty declaration. But I believe it will also involve a wondrous display. That same passage in the book of Hebrews tells us of that moment when He will say, Behold, I and the children which God hath given to me. And angelic hosts will wonder with amazement at the evident grace of God that has brought sinners into glory, linked with that lovely man for all eternity. Behold, I and the children which God hath given to me. He will see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. You know, that's not an optional event, is it? When that moment comes, we won't scratch our head or, what did you do, Mr. Gustafson? Wriggle your, no, okay, we won't do that, will we? No, not at all. We're going. We're going to be swept in His presence. Changed. Raptured. Loved ones who have gone on before in Christ, resurrected. Swept into His presence to gather about Himself for all eternity. An involuntary response to a shout. We'll be gathered together unto Him for all eternity. But we have read in Hebrews chapter 10, maybe a little different aspect of this word. As the writer says to these Christians now, or these believers, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, the word is unto Himself, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let me just give you three very simple thoughts concerning Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 that I see. I see that this verse brings before us, number one, a focus. And of course, we've already mentioned the fact that this is a gathering together, an assembling of ourselves together unto Him. There is a focus to this truth. This truth involves, number two, fellowship. Provoke one another to love, to good works, stirring one another up, consider one another, and so on. It involves fellowship. And that's exactly what's going on in this conference and in the assemblies and our relationships one with the other. There is a fellowship. We have been brought together and we assemble ourselves together unto Him. There's a vertical relationship and there is a horizontal relationship. So it involves fellowship. I think there's another truth linked with this verse. It involves the future. It says, do this so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I believe for those believers that was a very near prospect. Titus was, I don't know if at that time, but Titus was soon about to move toward the land. Christians were going to pay dearly for their faith. City of Jerusalem was headed for absolute destruction. Tremendously difficult, trying times. And these believers were being encouraged to stick together in view of that soon coming day. Ah, but there's a distant, I don't know if it's so distant anymore, but in those days there was a distant aspect to that truth. It has brought us right to this day. And as we think of our gathering together unto Himself and our relationships one with the other, it does involve a future element. The coming of the Lord is drawing near. And oh, it'd be wonderful to be in fellowship with the Lord's people, to end our little journey well. Fellowship with having a fellowship with one another. We need to prod one another on. It has a future aspect to it. For gathering together unto Himself, if He is missing here today, I just say if. This is only just an assembly. Just a gathering together. But I'm thankful that we claim His promise that He is here. When I think of our gathering together unto Himself, I am made aware that as we do, we are making some statements. I believe, number one, we are expressing His worth. Anybody ever ask you, why do you go to that? And I'm not despising our gospel halls or wherever you go. But let's face it, they're not the most elaborate buildings in town, are they? Not too much stained glass in our buildings. And the pipe organ just isn't there. Why do you go there? What's the drawing factor? Why do you go there so often? Not just once a week, but Christians go back. You know why we gather together unto Himself? It's an expression of His worth. You take Christ out of the Scriptures, the words become lifeless. If you remove Christ from all the types and shadows, they are meaningless. If you remove Christ from our gathering centers and from our gathering together, there's little point in it. But as we come, we are simply saying to one and all, Christ is on display and He is worthy of our adoration and of our praise. I think of us as Mary came in. You know the story well as she came to anoint her Lord. Never said a word, did she? At least we don't read of it. Broke that alabaster box of ointment, and as those disciples were scrutinizing that display, that extravagant display of devotion, there was an immediate response. Judas said, waste. What a waste. You know, sad to say, that began to spread. Waste. And as the Lord Jesus, I don't know if He heard them, but He certainly knew what was being said. He redirected it and He turned it all around. And He said, what this woman has done has eternal significance and eternal value. What a tremendous and high and holy privilege it is for believers to come into the very presence of God. Yes, collectively and yet as individuals. Simply by our gathering together unto Himself, it's an expression of the worthiness of the man of Calvary. He is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and eternal ages will fulfill that great mandate and that great purpose. But as we gather ourselves together unto Himself, secondly, I believe it's the evidence of His work. I've thought for a long time that in most places there are two gospel meetings every Sunday. One involves the morning meeting. what involves the public declaration of the Word of God.
As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's, ye do proclaim the Lord's death until he come. And as angelic hosts watch, and as possibly as others come to observe, what do we say?
Just by taking our place around those emblems, by gathering ourselves together unto him, we are declaring redemptive power.
We are giving a statement of sovereign grace, and as you look around an assembly, you can open up your eyes for a little bit, but you will see all kinds of ages, all kinds of careers, all kinds of believers, all kinds of cultures and nationalities. In fact, it was one of the ways that God spoke to me one Sunday morning, sitting at the back as an unbeliever, wondering if God was interested in me. And I just happened to scan that assembly meeting there in London, Ontario, and it just struck me. Why, there's a school principal over there. And there's an engineer. And then I saw a little high school girl sitting there. And then there was an old brother up front. And there were those that just had grade 2 education. It just struck me. God is interested in everybody. He's no respecter of persons. As we gather ourselves together, it's the evidence of his work, his sovereign grace. It's the evidence of divine order and headship. And as we gather ourselves together unto him, we are stating the very foundation of our faith and of our hope. It's Christ, and Christ alone. Is there anything else concerning this focus? I believe there's the enjoyment of his blessings as we gather ourselves together unto him. John chapter 20, of course, is the chapter of the appearings, at least part of the chapters of the appearings. I'd like to have been there as those disciples came along the road and they found Thomas. And he said, Thomas, listen to this. We've seen the Lord. Thomas, you should have been there. You might not believe it, Thomas. And of course he didn't. But we have seen the Lord.
Poor old Thomas, he just kind of shook his head. He says, won't believe it. Can't take that aboard. Then I have to see it myself. You know, for a whole week, poor old Thomas lived with missed blessings. Ever had somebody come back from a conference and say, boy, did you ever miss a good conference? I feel like about 2 inches high when that happens to me, especially when I could have gone and didn't. You know, and I know that there are times that the Lord's people can't gather themselves together unto himself in assembly capacity. Some have to work, and some have responsibilities, and some are ill. But you know, when we have that privilege, and we fail to avail ourselves of that privilege, you know, too tired, headache is, I think, is starting to come on, so I don't think I better go. And you know, there's other things that are coming up, and you know what happens? We miss the blessing of his presence. I'm sure there are Christians here that have gone to midweek meeting and maybe you went with a headache. But I can tell you something. You likely didn't leave with a headache. Things change during the meeting. And I know that our meetings are not always wonderful times of exegesis. But you know, there's something about gathering together with the Lord's people unto himself, where his presence is real, where thoughts are refocused, and where heaven comes into view again, and the things of time and sense take a second place, and even just sometimes singing the hymn, together we'll lift our voices and we'll lift our hearts. There's the enjoyment of his blessing. Let me give you one more. There's when we gather ourselves together unto himself, it involves the exercise of priesthood. Now you might be able to, you might say today, well, you know, I can't pray like brother so-and-so. And I just can't put these words together.
And you know it's going to sound really flat, and so you come to the morning meeting and you've already decided I'm not going to take part because my little bit won't be appreciated. Will you not understand exactly who we're gathered to from this verse? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together unto Himself. There are times as I have come to a morning meeting, I just had to talk to myself and say, Marv, if the Lord was here in person, would you not want to say thank you, if nothing else? He is there. And as we gather ourselves together unto Himself, we are not there to impress one another with our grammar and with our English and with our phraseology and with our alliterations. It's all fine and good, but we're not praying just for the flair of praying. We're gathered to Him. We're gathered for His pleasure. We speak for His ear and to touch His heart. It involves the exercise of priesthood. And if there's believers here and you have remained silent for too long, then as you come tomorrow morning in the fear of God, will you not move into His presence with a response to heaven? To just say in simple words, words of thanksgiving and gratitude as we gather ourselves together unto Himself. Not only is there a focus, but there is the tremendous truth of a fellowship. We've been told to provoke unto love and to good works. Anybody in the assembly that you're a part of, do they provoke you? Oh, you say, what? I could tell you a few stories. I recall working on a new hull project in Newfoundland. I was doing the shingling by myself, just to try and finish up a little piece there. And there were two retired carpenters down on the wall underneath me, both men that had run work crews, carpentry crews in their own right, and they were trying to put on siding, vinyl siding together. And I could hardly hit the nail. I was just kind of chuckling to myself as I listened to these two old veteran carpenters trying to put on vinyl siding together. Of course, one man thought it should go this way, another man thought it should go this way, and, you know, it was... Anyway, finally, one of those men came up, and he climbed up the ladder and sat down beside me, and he just started to laugh, and he just hit his leg, and he says, you know, that Johnny Mack, which is the man down there, he's a good developer of grace. You know, there are times that we provoke one another. That goes with human relationships, doesn't it? But you know, this is a positive thing. As we come together with Christ in the midst, we are going to touch each other horizontally. And our gathering together unto Himself is designed in this fellowship truth to be, I think, number one, a prod to growth. You know, the way you live is going to impact the way I learn and the way I conduct myself. If I was wondering whether I should come to the Seattle conference yesterday, and I happened to talk to some of the believers in let's say, Vancouver, where we are right now, And I said, now, are you going to go to the Seattle conference tomorrow? And they said, no, I don't think so. Those meatballs, you know, they're pretty hard. And, you know, it's a long way. And the traffic of Seattle, you've never seen the traffic. It's terrible. You know what happened to me? I say, oh boy, if the meatballs are that bad, maybe I won't go too. But suppose Christians have said, Seattle, yes, we're totally going. You gonna come along? And all of a sudden, something that was questionable becomes affirmative. You're going? I'm going. You're not going? I won't go.
And you know, as believers come to the assembly meetings, I'm not just talking Sunday morning, but through the week, you know what happens? Just by your coming. And I'm not talking about legalistic do's and don'ts here today, but your glad response to come, you'll be a tremendous encouragement to others. Thrilling to see some believers walk into a meeting. You know where they've come from. An unsaved husband, unsaved children, tough situation. Ah, but they're there. Sometimes young people come and they're going through deep trials or tough days, but oh, they're there. Some of them take part, and it's a tremendous encouragement. It's a prod to growth. But I believe as well concerning our gathering ourselves together unto Him and provoking one another to love and to good works, there's also the preservative aspect. We are now accountable one to the other. And if I begin to miss meetings, it's very likely an indication of my spiritual temperature, of my spiritual condition. You know, I'm thankful for those that singled me out and were a help to me. We are to provoke one another, to stir one another up to love and to good works. I trust that by the grace of God, I will never be known as an SMO or an SMOS. Sunday morning only sometimes. If that's the case, then I have failed to understand the matchless person to whom I've gathered. Is there a future element? Yes, there is. He says, so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Are these difficult days? I'm not going to stand here and tell you how difficult they are. You know. Anybody come to this conference discouraged? You don't even have to raise your hand. I think that we'd be surprised how many people are hurting today in this very meeting. You know, what Christians are longing for is just a little gentle prod, a little tap on the shoulder, a little encouragement along the way. As we gather together, not just in mindless fashion, but as we come together as a group of Christians, this brief time of refreshment, really it's likely the only time apart from our families when we're in the majority. All the rest of the week we're in the minority, but as we gather ourselves together unto Him, we'll be able to just prod one another along in view of that day. Coming of the Lord is drawing near. The enemy is working overtime to discourage and to ensnare and to bring down the work of God. To bring discouragement, one of His most vital tools. So the writer says, you do this in view of that soon coming day, so much the more in view of that day. I trust today that we will understand that we are gathered together unto Him. Now, in view of that coming endless day, we'll be with Him alike for all eternity.